So good evening. My name is Shinryu. I'm one of the teachers here at the Village Zendo, and welcome to everyone. Special welcome to those who are new or relatively new to the Zendo. I'd like for you to imagine what it would be like if you were walking down the street and all of a sudden you stepped into some dog shit. What is that like for you? I'll just give you a minute here to imagine what the reaction would be. I do think you know. In my case, I think it would begin with anger and sudden violent cursing. And then it would quickly turn to blame. Like, what fool could have let his dog take a shit on the sidewalk where all these pedestrians are? And what a fool am I to step into it? Am I not paying attention? Come on. And then just the awkwardness, the disgustingness of cleaning it up and knowing that you can't really ever get it completely off. cursing all the while, thinking about what it will mean for the future. How am I going to step into the office? So I wanted to talk tonight about this issue of missteps and practice. Last night we had a great conversation, a Dharma chat, about mistakes in practice and in our lives. And there are three people here tonight who were there last night, and I promise I won't repeat too much, rehash too much what we already went over, although, as we always say, every Dharma talk is rehashing the same thing anyway, so it's all relative. But it was a great conversation, and there were a lot of different issues and angles that people brought up to think about this question of mistakes. How humbling mistakes can be when we're proud of ourselves or puffed up. The fear that we have of making mistakes and how that can really hinder us from acting freely in our lives. We talked about criticism of others and self-criticism and how deeply ingrained those tendencies are and how they come up with mistakes. We talked about ideas of perfection and imperfection, the desire for success, the desire for control. You can see the topic lends itself to a lot of different issues, which probably you are familiar with. And Myoko Sensei last night said, actually, everyone in the room is an expert on this topic. and even so, I think there's still some room for us probably to become more skilled at dealing with how we respond to mistakes. How can we become a true master of missteps? So I wanted to keep following up on this, look at a few more issues which we didn't quite touch on last night. One thing is the tendency to want to hide our mistakes because we're ashamed of them, we're embarrassed, we want to look good. I think we all experience this, but I was reminded of a quote, and this it was Fugon, who's a percussionist in our sangha, who mentioned it once. But The jazz drummer Art Blakey once said, "So go on and play, and if you make a mistake, make it loud so you won't make it next time." So if you make it loud, then it's easier to remember what that mistake really is. You throw some light on it and really look at it, and then it's a little bit harder to just repeat the same mistake. If you're covering it over the whole time and denying it, then it's much easier to keep falling into it. So that's how Art Blakey put it. Maybe from a Zen, in Zen language, we could say, let your mistake fill the whole universe. Let it be as big as Mount Sumeru. Mount Sumeru is the mythic mountain that fills, it's right at the center of the entire universe. Let your mistake be as big as Mount Sumeru. Suzuki Roshi talked about mistakes in practice, and I went back and looked at his comments, and he said we should really be grateful, actually, for our mistakes, because they can serve us as warning signals for when, for our weak points, for when we're getting off track. So, for example, if we're frustrated by something that goes wrong, it's a sign that actually, probably, we have some expectations that are not being met, and we're setting ourselves up for that fall. In practice, it's so common. We come to practice with such an idealistic notion of what it's about. And in some ways, really doing the practice is just breaking down all of those idealistic assumptions and making it real. When our expectations don't match reality, that's what leads us to become discouraged. If you find yourself being discouraged in practice, he says, great. Then you can see where you're leading yourself awry in setting up those false expectations. So we can correct, in a way, for our ideas that we're going to gain something from practice. And when we stumble, it allows us to see what the obstacle is that we have in our path. The mistake allows us to really see ourselves and to correct our path. So our lives are really not fixed at all. Our lives are constantly in flux. But at the same time, part of the flux is that our delusions keep constantly arising too. They keep springing up like the grass now in springtime. But the reality of our lives and our ideas about our lives don't correspond to one another. And that's why we keep getting into trouble. The conditions for our lives, the conditions for our practice diverge from our more fixed ideas about what life is supposed to be like. And so in that gap between our expectations and the reality, we keep finding frustration and anger, and the mistakes occur and recur over and over again. But just as the mistakes occur, we have the opportunity to learn from them. The learning opportunities are as endless as the mistakes are. Opportunities for really seeing who we are right now. And the opportunities to refine, to develop, to deepen our practice are endless. There's no end point for us in this activity. So mistakes can be good medicine for us and allow us to see that we really don't know quite as much as we think we do. And when we wake up to that, and when we can act from the realization of not knowing, there's always everything to learn. We really never have it all down. When we think we have it all down, we set ourselves up again for disappointment. But then, in that disappointment, we again have the opportunity to learn something new, the opportunity to wake up. So I thought I'd, in the spirit, share a short talk that Master Dogen gave to his assembly. It's a strange talk, but I hope that you might find something useful in it for yourself. So this is back in the 13th century in his monastery. And he gave this talk on Rohatsu, the day in which we celebrate the enlightenment of Buddha, Shakyamuni Buddha. So Dogen said, I'll just read the whole thing through for you. 2,000 years later, we are the descendants of Shakyamuni. 2,000 years ago, he was our ancestral father. He is muddy and wet from following and chasing after the waves. It can be described like this, but also there's the principle of the way that we must make one mistake after another. What is this like? Whether Buddha is present or not present, I trust he is right under our feet. Face after face is Buddha's face. Fulfillment after fulfillment is Buddha's fulfillment. Last night, this mountain monk, and here he's referring to himself, Dogen, last night this mountain monk unintentionally stepped on a dried turd, and it jumped up and covered heaven and earth. This mountain monk unintentionally stepped on it again, and it introduced itself, saying, my name is Shakyamuni. Then this mountain monk unintentionally stepped on his chest, and immediately he went and sat on the Vajra seat, saw the morning star, bit through the traps and snares of conditioned birth, and cast away his old nest from the past. Without waiting for anyone to peck at a shell from outside, he received the 32 characteristics common to all Buddhas, and together with this mountain monk, composed the following four-line verse. Stumbling, I stepped on his chest, and his backbone snapped. Mountains and rivers swirling around, the dawn wind blew. Penetrating seven and accomplishing eight, bones piercing the heavens, his face attained a sheen of golden skin. So that's Dogen's discourse. So I just wanted to go through it together and try to pull a few things out of it. 2,000 years later, we are the descendants of Shakyamuni. 2,000 years ago, he was our ancestral father. So he's talking about Shakyamuni Buddha on the day that Buddha's enlightenment is celebrated. And he's really bringing up this question of our relationship to Shakyamuni Buddha. And he's talking about 2,000 years ago, and yet he's talking about our relationship. We are his descendants. He was our father. There's actually a kind of intimacy in that relationship. What is that intimacy for us? He says, he is muddy and wet. Notice he doesn't say he was muddy and wet. He is muddy and wet from following and chasing after the waves. This is interesting. He's muddy and wet from rolling around in the mud and throwing himself right into the waves. So you can think about this is talking about Shakyamuni not just perching himself in a safe and protected environment on the top of a mountain somewhere. He's down there and he's really in it. He's in the muck of real life and daily life and maybe your life or my life. He's getting into it together with us. Throwing himself into the waves of life that keep coming over us or overcoming us or overwhelming us. Or maybe he's getting into it with the waves and waves of humanity who keep being born and falling ill and aging and dying. And he's throwing himself in with all of us on that score. So there's a way in which it's a reference to our Mahayana ideal of the Bodhisattva, who doesn't strive just for some kind of personal attainment, but to really be in the mix with all things and everyone, and to try to work with the suffering of birth and old age and death, and to try to bring about awakening in the midst of those conditions. It can be described like this, but also there's the principle of the way that we must make one mistake after another. It just puts it out there. This is the principle of the way. We must make one mistake after another. Dogen uses this term, shoshaku jushaku, one mistake after another. People sometimes translate as one continuous mistake, one big mistake, one mistake after another. So I think we all know what that's about, actually. We, in the midst of our lives, we're constantly caught up in all of these conditions, all of these karmic conditions, constantly affected by all of our delusions, our greed, our anger, our ignorance, our sense that the world should revolve around us, around me, our judgments about the way things are. We're in the relative world, and in the relative world, it's one mistake after another. Nothing is perfect. What is this like? He's asking each one of us, what is this like? Important for us to really look at this. Whether Buddha is present or not present, I trust he's right under our feet. Great line. Whether we're awake or not awake, whether we're enlightened or deluded, I trust he's right under our feet. So it's a wonderful, Dogen's humor is wonderful. This turd is right under our feet. And that turd is Buddha. Every moment, it's right underneath our feet. How could it ever be apart from us if it's right underneath our feet? Why do we think it's so far away? Buddha is over on the altar, or enlightenment, maybe I'll get there someday if I'm really lucky. It's right underneath our feet. Shakyamuni Buddha is right underneath our feet. Why do we look so far away? Face after face is Buddha's face. Fulfillment after fulfillment is Buddha's fulfillment. face after face. Look around the room. Look around you when you're on the street. Face after face is Buddha's face. Fulfillment after fulfillment is Buddha's fulfillment. Our own fulfillment. We shouldn't look for some external model for our own fulfillment. As if there were a Zen model or a Buddhist model or... It's really missing the point entirely. Last night, this mountain monk unintentionally stepped on a dried turd and it jumped up and covered heaven and earth. This mountain monk unintentionally stepped on it again and it introduced itself saying, "My name is Shakyamuni." Hello. It sounds like a dream. Last night he had a dream. This whole conversation is a kind of a dream. Just to talk about Buddha and Shakyamuni is kind of a dream. It's a dream. It's a mistake in a way to even get into all of this complicated talk about Zen or Shakyamuni is a big mistake. But it's a kind of mistake that we use to try to correct our mistakes. So it's another mistake on top of all the others. So then this mountain monk unintentionally stepped on his chest. It's interesting to say each step is unintentional. Steps on his chest, and immediately he went and sat on the Vajra seat, saw the morning star, bit through the traps and snares of conditioned birth, cast away his old nest from the past. So this is a whole description about Shakyamuni's enlightenment experience on the 8th of December. He sat all through the night and in the morning saw the morning star. And in that moment, something clicked. And he had a kind of opening. But Dogen is so intimate with the shit and so intimate with Buddha that there's no reverence there. He steps on him again and again and again. He steps right on his chest. There's no fear about meeting Buddha. And when he loses that fear and he meets Buddha, Buddha has his awakening. Without waiting for anyone to peck at his shell from outside, he received the 32 characteristics common to all Buddhas. So this is a reference to this. In Zen, there's this metaphor of a mother hen and a chick. And the chick is inside the egg. And the chick is trying to get out and become free. And it's pecking away inside. And the teacher is trying to help the chick get out, and it's pecking on the outside, and that's the relationship between student and teacher being described there. But Shakyamuni Buddha did it without any teacher. He's one of those rare ones who had his awakening on his own. He just had summed up great will, and he'd been working at it for a long time too. Eons and eons. So he broke out of the nest, Shakyamuni did, without having anyone to help him from outside. Nothing external. And waking up, he then composed with this mountain monk the following verse. So Dogen writes this verse, but he writes it in total intimacy with Shakyamuni. Stumbling, I stepped on his chest and his backbone snapped. I love that stumbling, no? In his mistake. in making that mistake, he meets Buddha and he steps on his chest. He's so intimate with the shit. He's so intimate with his mistake. He steps on his chest, the backbone snaps. I imagine that is just everything. There's that, the backbone is sort of our connection between the earth and the heavens in a way, isn't it? But there's no mediation, maybe we could read it that way, between heaven and earth. The backbone snaps, total freedom. Mountains and rivers swirling around, the dawn wind blew. So mountain and rivers swirling around in the midst of all the phenomena of the world, the great mountains, the flowing rivers, in the midst of all of our karma, that awakening happened. The dawn wind blew throughout all of existence. The dawn wind arising with the dawn star. Penetrating 7 and accomplishing 8. So again, it's, I think, referring to the infinity of the world as it is, all the phenomena of the world, penetrating each and every phenomenon. And accomplishing and fulfilling through each phenomenon that we meet. Penetrating 7, accomplishing 8. Another way we could think about this, have you ever seen those little dolls that they have in Japan, Daruma dolls? I mentioned this last night. They are they're very popular. People use them as good luck charms. You use them if you have something that you want to go well. So you, it's like crossing your fingers, and you really sort of pray to Daruma that things will turn out well for you. You'll get a raise at work, or you'll pass your exam successfully. But those dolls are, they're a picture of Bodhidharma, and they show him sitting there with no legs. He's sitting with no legs. And because he has no legs, it's the bottom of the doll is round, and so it rolls back and forth. It's a tumbler doll. They have them in a lot of cultures, but the tumbler doll, if you hit it, it falls over, but then it snaps back upright. Or if it falls, it comes right back up again. So we have this expression in Zen, falling down 7 times, getting up 8 times, which is great. I love this. Roshi, I heard it first from Roshi. It's always stayed with me. Constantly falling down on the job. And what do? Next? We get up again and we keep going. So, 7 mistakes and 8 times getting back up again. 7 missteps and 8 new, fresh steps. Penetrating 7, accomplishing 8, bones piercing the heavens. Our own, the bones of our very body piercing the heavens. His face attained a sheen of golden skin. Yeah. The Buddha is manifest right there in his own face. So, strange little story, but hopefully you can see something in it for you. We all have made these missteps, and we've all gotten into the shit. But Dogen is talking about the possibility that we can wake up right in the midst of these continual mistakes that we're making. one mistake after another, one awakening after another. What is this like? Oh, shit. Can be the perfect moment for awakening. When we feel the squish under our shoe, can be the moment for awakening. When we see it and we smell it, can be the moment. When we recoil in disgust, that can be the moment. When we feel our blood rising, or the urge to blame somebody else or ourselves, when we're cleaning up the mess, that can be the moment. But we have to really be able to experience those moments fully, completely, without shutting down, turning away, going on neurotic autopilot. Just really see ourselves fully, as stinky as we may be. And if we can really see ourselves fully, we might just see Shakyamuni too. Hi, I'm Shakyamuni. So Art Blakey would say, go on and play, and don't be afraid of the mistakes, because really we can't avoid them. To say that life is making one mistake after another is also to say, you know, we need to keep making our best effort, and without quite so much attachment to what the outcome is going to be. So let's take the next step forward without knowing where it will lead us, and without worrying what a fine mess we're going to get ourselves into.